Tech Tuesday, Eric Semmel. Like I said, he's back from Florida doing dry January.
Yes, sir.
I've never tried it.
I don't know what I was thinking, but I saw so many news stories on it. I'm like, you know what? I'll try that. My wife, of course, is holding me to it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, she's brutal.
Boring Saturday nights in your house. But it's yes. really, I'm curious at the end of it, if you feel better, if you've lost weight. Because, you mean, relative to when we started doing this, you look healthy to me.
I still got at least 16 pounds.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Really?
I do.
Interesting. Listen, I was getting, I don't know if it's related to this Instagram one, but I've been getting periodic texts and emails to reset my Venmo password. Yeah. It got to the point where I didn't use the link, but I went myself to my own Venmo and changed it just in case it was real, because it looked, it had some authenticity to it. So I made sure I didn't click through.
Right.
But I actually listened to it. But I was like, there's no, if I change my password, that's not going to make me further vulnerable. So what's, as long as I don't click it, right?
As long as you don't click on a phishing link. So these unwanted Instagram password resets. Basically, if you ever get an email saying, you know, would you like to reset your password and you have not initiated it? You are being phished. Okay. No matter what it is, you're being phished. Somebody either tried to log in as you and try to reset your password, and that's them trying to attack your account, and you're getting the email because you said, hey, email me. Or it's a fake email, and then you're going to go ahead and click on that link and go ahead and reset the password, and you're going to give the bad guys your Venmo account. So you do not want to follow these links if they're unsolicited. Never, ever follow any kind of text, email, phone call, even a pop-up on your computer screen.
So what if you are compromised and the company needs to tell you? How would they do that?
Well, they wouldn't know. If you give the
bad guys. But what if they were hacked? Like, what if the Instagram got hacked and they got into accounts or whatever?
Yeah, well, if Instagram got hacked, we'll find out thanks to the state of Maine requiring any company that's breached to actually report on it for some reason.
So we'd get in the news and then we'd go in and change our password?
Correct. However, you shouldn't just assume they're all hacked. The dark web has your username and passwords. Assume that by default.
Right.
Add two-factor authentication to all your accounts, and now the chances are much lower, even if they are breached, that the bad guys get into your account. And use different passwords on all your systems. Also look at passkeys. So yeah, I know it's a never-ending thing, but Venmo, anything that comes at you that's important to you, unsolicited, is definitely the bad guys trying to get into your
system. You know what's amazing is that I always forget what my Ticketmaster password is.
Yeah.
So every time I get tickets to something, I have to reset it anyway because I forgot it. So it's almost like this being bad at passwords almost helps me. He's Eric Semmel, of course, with Tab Computers. And you can listen to Computer Talk with Tab 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturdays here on WTIC. It's a great show. And he'll take whatever questions you have. They have to be tech related. He doesn't take a lot of sports questions.
No.
But
as a Jet fan, I have no idea what sports are all about.
Yeah,
clearly.
Seriously. Well, you certainly haven't enjoyed it in a long time. Listen, we've heard about smart this and smart that.
Yeah.
Smart fridges.
Yeah.
I tend to think it has to do with like filters or letting you know when something is this, but there's a new sort of level of smart fridge. And tell us a little bit about it.
So basically, there's a device that was at CES in Las Vegas, a GE Profile smart fridge.
Is it something you can actually buy?
So some because of the stuff
at CES is all concept sometimes, but like this is something you can actually get.
It says it's going to be available for $5,000.
$5,000.
Yeah, it's an expensive fridge. It'll tell you. It'll actually look at the barcodes on the stuff that you buy and let you know whether or not it's sitting in the fridge. That can be helpful. My wife and I are awful when it comes to cooking or planning or any kind of going to the grocery store. We're just bad at it. She'll write a list and leave it on the counter. Would it be nice if your smart fridge tells you as you're at Stu Leonard's? Oh, by the way, you forgot to pick up some milk. So this is kind of cool if it works. The problem with all this smart stuff is when it doesn't work. You know, I told you off air about a smart lock I had that decided to do a firmware update and then blew it. It lobotomized itself. I just happened to walk to the door. We're about to leave the next morning on a plane. And the thing says, I have to do a firmware update. It fails. And I'm on tech support at 9 o'clock at night trying to get my lock to work again. It was a perfectly good working lock. Imagine your fridge does this, right? And it gets lobotomized and doesn't know what temperature it is. It shouldn't be this crazy out there when it comes to this. So this benefit going to happen where you're going to actually benefit from not having this? That'd be great. Wouldn't it be great if it then goes out to some sort of Instacart and orders the milk for you? And Instacart is at least pricing it at a fair price and not ripping you off because you have a $5,000
fridge. Well, I could see a day where you give that you input data of the essential items that you wanted to track, and then it would track it and let you know. I mean, I could see that being something, but it's also eyeballs. You open your fridge.
Well, that's what most people are going to say. $5,000 or open your fridge, Eric. Yeah, I agree.
But it also it can give you some recipe suggestions, but you can also do that on your phone. So, I mean, to me, the more technology you put in a fridge outside of just keeping things to the temperature I want, the more likely it is to break. Same thing with washers and dryers. Like, the more high tech they get with the washers, I'd rather go back to the dial days and just push the button and go, to be honest.
I look at our washer and dryer at home and I'm like, I don't know what to set it to.
Yeah, I do the same setting for everything, no matter what. Anyway, so what's the point? Eric Semmel from Tab Computers in East Hartford. So, like, I hear these stories, you know, with AI and a whole bunch of different unintended consequences. If there's a chip shortage, do I care?
Yeah, this is a problem. So we're seeing it in our business. We build workstations and servers and for our customers. And basically, there's an issue. I even heard Joey talking about it during the holiday store a little bit. There is a shortage on RAM. And the RAM, actually, this is RAM, random access memory, which is part of what you find in consumer products like laptops and PCs and regular servers. And basically what's happening is the manufacturers are saying, you know what? I don't want to make that low margin stuff anymore. I want to make the high margin HBM RAM, which I've never even heard of until AI and data centers. High bandwidth memory, more silicon chips involved, higher profit margins on doing it. So they're actually stopping building as many of those consumer level chips and going to the data centers because of the demand there. So as your smart fridge connects in, you can't afford a laptop anymore to actually do your word processing.
Okay, that's not good. Okay.
It's killing us, though. It's very big price improvement.
Well, you talk about AI and data centers, and you know, the president actually pushed out on True Social something that I think that he's working with Microsoft. Mm-hmm. These tech companies need to take more responsibility for the energy they're consuming.
They must.
And I think that the White House gets it, and I think they're going to make that, because it affects us, because it drives their demand drives up our prices.
Correct.
And so I think it's an important issue for them to try to tackle. But what I wanted to ask you, because I never believe this is true, if you unplug stuff, does it really save you money?
Yeah, so this is old school stuff. I saw this thing out here, and I was like, well, yeah, it's crazy. We're talking about trying to save money on our electric bills, because if you look in Connecticut, we don't even know how electricity works based on our electric bill. So now you're saying, we used to talk about vampire appliances and stuff like that. And so this
A toaster, you mean, or something like that?
Like a toaster, or your Keurig. If you're a heavy Keurig user and you put it in like standby mode, it's actually taking all sorts of energy. Your Xbox, if it's just sitting there idling, Brian, and you're not using it, it's taking all sorts of energy. So the idea here is you start to unplug things. So if you have a TV in another room, like my kids are no longer at the house anymore, I should unplug those TVs that they use.
And that actually saves energy, like legitimate, like it adds up?
It adds up. And this has 7 common household things that you should be unplugging, from Keurigs to things that you don't use in general, just to save a few bucks on your electric bill. But I agree on the data center issue, Brian. If these data centers don't start paying their fair share, they should be charged at a higher rate for the amount of consumption that they choose. And that's, we should be actually benefiting as people on the grid from their high usage. So they build additional nuclear power plants.
Yeah.
They pay a premium to actually have the data center on there because it's such a great idea. Yeah. We should have a saving.
They should pay a premium to subsidize, because, and I don't like the word subsidy, but like to get the privilege to use the system.
Not a subsidy, but just you pay a higher toll for the HOV lane. Right. Same idea. You pay a higher toll for your electric usage based on the volume you pull. This is not a situation where you get a discount for buying more. You should be paying extra for consuming
more. As it relates
to
energy, that's true.
Right.
That's definitely true. And it looks like that something will be done.
Let's hope.
It's great to see you.
You too, Ryan.
Good to have you back in the fold. Good luck with the rest of January, although we'll see you next week.
Yes, sir.
All right. Eric Semmel, Tab Computers. Again, Computer Talk with Tab on Saturdays here on WTIC from 9 to 11 a.m.